Hey, welcome back to the Tuneshed Workshop, where we're here to become better musicians and learn all about music. That's the intro today, Marty. We got to get right into it. We've been grinding on a song, and we're going to recap what we've done since the last workshop. This is Instinct Cringes. What's good, Marty?
We've been working. This is part of a series that we'll be doing on this song. So we are just going to every so often sit down and crank out a couple hours, and then we'll do a quick recap and sort of like go into what we did this time. So
That's right.
Is part two of Instinct Cringes.
Yeah. If you haven't seen part one or listened to it, go check it out. Or maybe just go in and listen to the recording one more time to see where we were at last time. And then today we're going to sort of go through all the adjustments we made and why. And it's in good shape. It's in good shape, Marty.
Dude, it's sounding pretty good. I can't lie. It's fun.
Yeah. I guess since last time I recorded a bunch of new ideas just to throw in there. And then today we kind of went through and subbed some instruments out, fixed timings, did a bunch of cool like effects here and there. I mean, we ended up doing a ton of different stuff, didn't we?
Yeah, a ton of different stuff. I mean, should we just start with the stuff that you sent me first?
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Yeah, want to start with that sine wave thing, or do you want to play a certain part? Or?
Well, maybe I'll start with the biggest thing. I asked you to record stereo mandolin instead of mono.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'll just play the mono version first, and then I'll play the stereo version that you sent me, and you can just hear the difference. Like here, so here's the mono. You know, sort of, it's in there. And then I had you record two of them, and I hard panned them, and here's what it sounds like. Like, that's great.
Yeah. World of difference. A mandolin, it's such a little instrument to be a star. And so when you suggested that, you know, recording it twice, pretty similar. There are some differences which actually make this cool effect when they're panned right and left. And it makes the whole thing like the little giant, right? It's a star of the show now, as it should be.
It's so nice. It's so nice and chuggy.
Yeah, that was such a good idea. And then I also did some, like, noodles at the end of the song, and I did those, I panned those as well, so I relearned what I had made up on the spot, which took forever, but it sounds kind of cool. I think we could probably leave it, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's all great
little noodles.
Yep. So Blake sent me that mandolin thing, and then Blake said his like grand piano patch on Logic glitched and like gave him a weird like sine wavy thing.
Uh-huh.
Which sounds like this. Oops. So he recorded this thing.
Yeah, just forced my piano to be that sound, so I started messing around with it. I don't know what happened. But yeah, it's not quite right. So then you went through this whole series. You did like, you cut off some of the high ends and some of the high frequencies.
Started over. Yeah. Well, I was like, so that's a great lesson in like making something awesome out of a weird situation. Like instead of just being like, my piano's glitching, best time to fix it. You were like, oh, let's like make something out of it, you know?
Well, it's not fun if it's a glitch, but it is fun if it's a glitch that I use. So that's my mindset.
Dude, that's true. We went and we completely redid it. So I pulled up a synth patch using a VST instrument called Tyrell, which is I think it was actually free for a while. Uhi was making it. But it's like an old analog bum. And we went and we found some presets. We found a preset that we kind of liked, and then we rolled off the high end a little bit, shaped the sound. Mm-hmm. We still weren't liking it, so then we found another preset, and we like messed with the release time and the length of the MIDI notes, and we put it through auto pan, so it's going around your head now, and then we messed with the rate of that. We did a whole bunch of stuff to that. We got kind of obsessed with this little synth patch.
Yeah. But it was I don't know. I think the one thing we land on was a little bit too maybe aggressive or like predictable. Like it felt like it just didn't sit with the other parts nicely, but it was a fine enough sound. So then you just had the idea of like, you know, compressing it, saturating it. I used like this analog compressor and spinning it around in your head with the pan, and it makes it sit a lot better with the other instruments. So that was pretty cool.
I think so too. Yeah, let's hear it just alone.
Yeah.
So here's what it turned out to sound like. It was just like a little Juno string synth ripoff.
Yeah.
But it ended up fitting really well.
It's not aggressive. It has some character. It's not like just a sine wave. And I don't know, seeing or listening to you sort of learn that part and play it back, I had this funny feeling like, you know, it's just some part I was just doodling on a piano, but then you learn it like it's a real part. It's so funny to have your thoughts analyzed like that. So that was kind of fun. You just like learn all my parts in 1 second. I'm like, whoa, this is like, I didn't even know why I did that. And now you're like, oh yeah, you did ba-bum. You know, it's kind of cool. Kind of fun.
Yeah, you just played it. You were like, oh, that sounds great. And I'm like, okay, it's a B. And then he presses the B to the G on the second bar. And then, okay, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how music's like that. Like, there's the analysis and the flow.
Right?
It's also crazy you can just learn anything I can play.
Well, not anything. I feel like your 1 second doodles are easier than maybe something you would spend a lot of time on.
That's the thing. I like to keep it pretty simple, though, because, you know, even those noodles we played earlier that I retaught myself and learned, that took me a long time. So it's easier just to keep it simple, and good music is simple a lot of the time, so I can live in that world.
I will say I don't think I could. I think it would take me a long time to learn your mandolin thing. I'm just not like a good string player, you know. I'd really have to listen and like look up.
Yeah, that one I've just known forever. Like, actually, I was just saying before we started, the very beginning I play with my thumb and then I switch to a pick. And the reason I do that is because I wrote this song when I could only play with my thumb. I had never used a pick yet. I didn't even have a pick. So then once I got a pick, I tried to learn it with a pick, and that took me forever. And this is all back in high school. So, so that's why, you know, kept a little bit of thumbing in the song too. Kind of fun.
That is kind of fun. It's a cool effect too. When you do switch to the pick, it's like, it gives the song a little lift.
Yeah, you want to play that actually? Just jump
there. Let's play that little transition. So here's him playing with a thumb. Let's just start like in the middle of it. He's just thumbing it. And then
you
the
can
switch
hear the differences
here.
Between the tracks too.
That's so cool. It really like moves the
song.
It kind of
wakes
forward.
Up.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
So
what else did we do? Well, oh, we're still going through your stuff. Oh, you sent me a cajon.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I have a cajon that is mostly a coffee table, but it shouldn't be. It's a drum. So I recorded it.
Yeah, and you tried to mimic your, like, your other MIDI track, right?
Well, yeah, actually, at first I just jammed along and I was playing something a little more complicated. But it sounded bad. So if you remember from the last section, we have these like African drum samples that I put in. Right. So I just decided to play right along with them. It gives them a little bit more character, a little bit more grit.
I love that. Well, let me play just the cajon real quick, like just a section of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are a little like tippy tappies that you're doing, but with the old African sample, here's how it sounds. So now there's like really cool interplay between the two.
Yeah. So what happened is sometimes I was copying it, sometimes I was jamming along, and then of course I made a lot of mistakes in there too. So Marty went into each section of the song and grabbed like a 4-bar loop that was compelling, just his favorite part, and then we just looped that. And kept little endings and little fills or other things that we liked. And I thought your comment was cool there. It's sort of like when you're making music, just take what you love right off the bat and kind of just get rid of everything else and don't stress it. And just move on. And that's the fun of it. And I don't know, it just cleaned up the whole drum track. Because before when I sent it to you, I was like, I like it, but there's some mistakes. It's not clean, blah, blah. And now it's clean and we got the nice parts and it's way more compelling than it was. So I don't know. I like that process a lot.
Yeah, man. I feel like back in the day when people used to work with tape, like the players would be so precise and dialed that like one mistake could ruin a whole take, you know? And so like the culture of trying to get everything really perfect and like keeping like the whole take and just like punching in little sections, I feel like that's inefficient and sort of like wears and tears on you throughout the day. So like, I don't know, the younger guys that I know really do choose like a little spot that they like and just play it over and over again, which is fine for a track like this, like a little drum track. It's great. Like if the interplay is nice, like, I don't know. I always think with this sort of thing, when you're choosing takes and like, you know, choosing what to do with the drum track and like trying to figure it out, I think you're allowed to think a little bit. But when you start, when you feel yourself zooming in on stuff that really doesn't matter, that's irrelevant, like that's when it's time to stop thinking and just come to an easy, like lazy solution.
Yeah, it's easier on your brain. And that, you know, if you zoom in too far, you kind of are getting taken out of your flow, aren't you? So you got to protect that state, which I it's so hard to do that in like, you know, in some software in the DAW. It's hard to do that if you don't know what you're doing. But, you know, watching you fly through, like, you know what you're doing, and you also protect this headspace, though, at the same time. You're like, we're not going to dwell on this too long. Maybe on that first synth we did a little bit, but that was pretty fun, so.
Right. It was, well, it's always fun to, like, look for a cool synth sound. Like, how could that not be fun?
Right, yeah. I guess as long as it's fun and you're not overthinking, then you're probably killing it.
Yeah, you said it really well. You're like, protect the flow state. I really like that, protect the flow.
Yeah, because you can, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had a good idea and said, oh, I want to record this right now. So I come upstairs, get all my stuff set up, sit down, I go to record it. Oh, something's a little off. I start messing with the timing. And then, you know, 45 minutes, an hour later, I'm like, I'm nowhere close to that idea anymore. And I have some of it down, but it's not the way I want. And I feel uninspired.
Yeah, man. You just, stay inspired, like stay good. I mean, and of course, you're not going to stay inspired for hours and hours and hours at a time. So like either take breaks or like know when it's time to stop.
You know? Yeah, I got to be realistic, but you can still protect it a little bit and keep it going, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It's not good for anyone to get like too dialed, to get too like zoned in. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the only other two things that Blake sent me were this like ooh track. Which I feel like is going to just be so fun to like put through Little Altar Boy and like mess up later. Like it's going to be great. We didn't actually get to it today.
Yeah, we didn't, but we should do that next time. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be fun. We'll like turn you into a synth or something.
Whoa. Okay, cool. I like
that. I think could be cool. And then Blake also sent me a short clip of his cat in the background.
This is what happens if I go upstairs by myself for like 5 minutes and the cat's like, wait, where are you? I'm like, I'm where I always am, upstairs. I work from home. I'm here all day, like don't stress. But yeah, he's a cutie.
I love that. He just sent me a little clip of it. It made me happy, and that's all that matters.
Well, here's the thing, like no one wants to, like, you know, real cat lovers, no one wants to see all the pictures, you know, and all the stuff. So what I've been doing is whenever someone asks me to, oh, send me that picture from the beach the other day, I just accidentally send them a cat picture too. This is like the audio equivalent of that. And I go, oops. scratches the itch, so to say.
Yeah, it itches the scratch, as we as we like to say.
Is all the stuff I sent you?
Yeah, and we actually didn't get to like using the cat or the ooing or anything. Yeah. We didn't touch those today. We just like we worked on it for 2 hours and then we were like, oh, it feels done. So that's all the stuff that Blake sent. But we then recorded more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I see. Oh, the thing we did next was we messed with a piece of paper. Because Blake said that he wanted the drums to be like more ghostly. Like,
yeah,
like the drums actually, to like match.
Yeah. I think where it started is we were commenting how much we liked the doubled piano, that stereo piano.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, well, it's kind of ghostly. And they're like, well, the vibe of the song needs to sort of follow that because it's such a lead part. And then we're like, okay, well, let's go to the drums. And then there's like this submarine sound we added last time. That's pretty ghostly. But then you had the idea of paper. And wow, it was so cool when you recorded it. Oh, that's the submarine there.
Yeah, the little
hits
the
little nice.
So then we pulled out a piece of paper and we just kind of started messing around with how it sounded through the mic. And what's really fun about doing this way is that Blake can hear everything coming through the mic, and I'm not hearing it that way. I'm hearing it mostly through open air, right? So like when I was sort of crinkling it in a way, Blake was like, oh, that's awesome. So I kept crinkling it that way. and then I decided to crinkle it to a metronome, and here's how it came out. Right, like totally crumbly, as my buddy Eli
so
says.
So squeezy.
It's squeezy. That's what Blake said. It's so squeezy.
It's like a little bit satisfying and a little bit discomforting at the same time. It's like, ooh, I love it.
It's that ASMR thing, I feel like.
Yeah, it's got something going on for it.
We're kind of like using it as a shaker almost, or like a hi-hat.
Yeah, it's on like a shuffle beat, like doot, 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 doot.
Ka-chuk, ka-chuk. Yeah, it's great. And then we just got really into time aligning stuff after that. So
yeah.
We went into the drums and we like moved all the drums around and made a match. And then we did both mandolin tracks.
Yeah, actually a cool thing you said about the drums too, when we were time aligning, is that they're membrane drums. So what happens is the loudest part of the biggest part of the transient or the sound wave is not actually where it starts, because technically a hand hits the drum and then the drum erupts into sound. So if you cut it off at the eruption, you miss that hand hitting, if that makes sense. So when you were warping it, you were like going through and making sure that that first part of the sound wave wasn't cut off. And also we were talking about how crazy it is that you can just take an audio file, find the peaks and valleys, and then just drag things around to make it fit without repitching it, or with repitching it if you want. Like, the warping is crazy.
Yeah, the warping technology now is like amazing. It's like you would never know that this was time aligned, you know? It's like everything is so well preserved.
Except for, wait, do you have the audio file that you time aligned to the drum time align?
Oh no, I could just no, I don't have it anymore actually. But okay, so all of you with Ableton, try just recording like a random sample of yourself, like whoa, 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 or whatever. And then if you know how you can warp it, and there's a, like a little drop down menu underneath the warp button that says complex, repitch, texture, tones, and everything. Select beats and then try warping your vocal. It's hilarious. It's like
it's
one
so
of the
funny.
Funniest things. It's really great.
Like, it usually sounds so natural. Like in the drums, you can't tell, but then you throw that on some vocals and it's funky, but you know, they have versions for vocals too, so it's not always funky.
Yeah, it's hilarious when you do it wrong on purpose. It can be cool. I know people that produce like that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, every effect is an effect. You can use it to taste, as we say.
To taste, baby.
And then, oh, what'd you do with the mando? You set the grid, and then, oh, you had a cool method though. You set a grid on the mandolin.
Yeah. So for drums, it's a lot easier to like time align things, like snap them to the grid perfectly 100%. So that's what we did for the drums. Like I set the quantization level to 100 so that the transient would align perfectly with the grid. But for instruments that are polyphonic, like guitar, piano, lots of times that results in bad things happening. So what I like to do is, if the mandolin track is relatively good, which Blake's was, it was like relatively on pitch, not on pitch, on time, I'll set the grid. In this case, it was like the smallest subdivision he was playing was an eighth note triplet. Cha-chunk, ka-punk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, you know, that like swing feel. So you just set the grid to an eighth note triplet, and then you set the quantization.
That's a hard word. A lot of Q's in there.
quantization level to 10%, which is like 1/10 of perfect. And then you zoom into a section, you select every single transient marker. So you select basically the whole track and you tap Control U, which is quantize. So you quantize it over and over again, just 10%, until the notes start like nudging closer and closer to the grid. And the goal here is that it's not gonna be perfect, and you don't want it to be. Like, you want that stereo track to sort of be organic feeling. So you get it close enough to where it's acceptable, but like not. You don't tap it too many times to where it's like perfectly snapped to the grid.
So still character, but still on beat.
Mm-hmm.
We're all good.
And then with that method, you do have to go in and check, because oftentimes, like, there's a weird warp marker, like the algorithm just like messes up. So you go in and like correct it by hand, but it produces really nice results.
Yeah, we also mentioned how I think both of us do it where we record stuff and then we want to get to our vocals. We start singing and then we're like, oh, everything's a little out of time. This is annoying. And really what we should have done is what we did today, is record stuff and then make sure it's all clean. Just take the time to do that when you're in that mode, and then get back into creation mode later.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. Like, you want vocal day to be really easy, happy-go-lucky, go free.
Yeah.
Free-form thinking, hippie vibes.
Happy-go-creative, creative time, flower emoji.
Yeah. But you don't want any friction, is what we're trying to
say. Yeah. No friction. No zooming in on drum beats on vocal day.
No, that's a rule. Annoying. That's annoying. So then after that, we recorded. Oh, we did a bass thing.
Yeah. So I had a bass idea for this outro. And I guess precursor on the outro from the last episode is it's sort of a different vibe than the rest of the songs. So we're still working on, like, the song's sort of folky and a little bit ghostly. And then the outro is a little bit like, to me, it sounds like desert rock, whatever that might be, a little bit more like folk and desert rock mixed. So we're still figuring out how to mix it. But I had this idea for a bass part that I don't have a bass, so I just took my mandolin and pitched it down an octave. So it sounded kind of bad. So we re-recorded it. And then, Marty, you have been working on ghost notes. You grabbed your bass and you tuned it 20 cents flat. And if you don't know why he did that, then check out the last episode.
Yeah.
And then
Andy Tui's P bass.
Yeah. If you don't know about the P bass, you got to check out the last one. But yeah, so then I guess walk us through like the guitar and the bass here.
Yeah, so my bass buddy who comes into the studio and lays down amazing bass has been teaching me about ghost notes, or like just extra stuff that you can do with the bass, like, you know, those really good bassists that like boom, you know, they do that thing where like they just tippy tap on the string without actually playing a note. That's kind of what he was trying to teach me. So I was trying to implement that today because I want to get better. But here's how it turned out. I still have to work on playing the ghost notes a little bit up so that it doesn't like resonate the string. But it's getting there.
Oh, I see what you say. Well, it's kind of interesting because I really liked the ghost notes in the guitar because they change pitch. So I kind of almost liked, well, there's still some resonance, right?
Kind of like off. Yeah. Like your ear doesn't pick up on it because it's like not in the scale. Should we play the guitar?
Yeah, no? Play them together, maybe.
Great. So cool. Blake wanted the double. So we were like, okay, well, let's just play it an octave up on the guitar. Is my guitar playing? Guitar is my worst instrument.
It's so hard. I was gonna say, we spent some time picking an amp too that is distorted but not too aggressive, Because yeah. the whole vibe isn't that aggressive.
Yeah, we sort but of that's, wanted, like, a slight
overall
crunch.
Sounds a lot better.
Yeah, I think so too. Here's what they sound like together. I just realized there's a wrong bass note, but I can actually correct that later.
Oh,
that
really?
That one. I didn't yeah, notice. This one. That one. It's a half step high.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Dude, I can actually fix that now. Check this out. You just select it, detune it a half step. Yeah, there it is. I fixed it.
Modern technology is redonkle-chonk.
It's crazy. It's so easy. It's probably wrong in the first half too, huh? Yeah, it is. What was I thinking? Let me fix that too.
I didn't notice.
It's like That's funny. I didn't even notice it until just now.
It's our Easter egg.
All right. Here's
cool.
Here's,
is that all we did?
Yeah.
We flew through.
Yeah, we really did. I mean, we like did a lot. Should we play the whole track now?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
So I guess keep in mind the vocals are coming and probably some more layers too. But this is where we're up to today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll leave Blake's ooh in just ostensibly.
Oh yeah.
Just so we can, you know, you can be privy to how it's changed later.
Yes.
No. Okay,
maybe
cool.
Maybe play that ooh one more time before
we go. Yeah, here's that ooh. It'll be different next time, but here's the ooh before we go.
Almost a do.
Almost a do, yeah.
I don't know why I made you put that one more time. We're good.
Alrighty. Here we go from the beginning.
All right.
The stereo mandolin sounds great.
It really does. Wakes up with the picking.
Sure does. The time aligning stuff is gonna matter so much too.
Yeah, it is.
You know, like it's just gonna sound so much cleaner.
I think so. I'm excited for the drums. Ooh, the paper.
Yeah, the paper is great.
And the submarine thing just makes it ghostly.
Much to do.
Yeah. But it'll be cool to show how much mixing helps a song.
Yeah, it will.
It still sounds clunky here, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like unorganized and dense. And... Oh, that weird sine wave is still playing. Hold on, let me mute that. There it goes. Your original, like, sine wave
thing. Oh, yeah. The glitch. We'll have some vocals here to really keep it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, vocals are going to be fun.
Kind of rock and roll, huh?
Yeah, right.
Could tone that back, maybe. I don't know.
We could always replace the electric guitar with like an acoustic guitar or something too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Might sound a little bit better.
Who knows?
I realized too that the noodles might be a little ahead of schedule since they weren't time aligned.
Yeah, true. We didn't mess with them at all. I also didn't play the Mando outro that you sent me. I had that muted. As you can see, we're still...
I don't know what that is.
We're still kind of just confused on what to do with the outro, but we'll figure it out. It'll all sort itself out, baby.
As it will. Yeah, the outro doesn't quite gel. It almost moved a little bit farther away with the electric guitar.
Sure did.
But so I think the options are maybe like put electric guitar earlier or just change that sound. Or I don't know. The musical content needs to move in that direction if the outro is going to make sense somehow.
Yep. Yeah, it's always good to be conscious of that happening. And then...
Yeah.
Offer alternatives and just see which one vibes, you know? Just keep,
yeah, and you know what? If it doesn't work out, we can just scrap it too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that was an update. That was an update on how
that was the update. Record time, 32 minutes.
We love it.
I guess, yeah, well, we'll be back soon with part 3 of the workshop. Marty, what do you think we should be doing? Are you going to add some layers or finish up just a few, like, sound things on the oohs and ahs, or do you want to do your vocal workshop?
Yeah, let's do one more session of like adding layers. I think we should add layers together.
Okay.
I think that'd be really good. Yeah, we should add like maybe a hardware synth layer, maybe some more strings, maybe oohs and ahs. Like, I don't know. We need more... We also need to like put some of the percussion stuff later too, because we only have the percussion stuff before the chorus one.
Oh, true.
Have some arrangement stuff to do.
Cool. Yeah, I realized all those strings up front that we did, like the ukulele and the dulcimer and all that, they just disappear and never come back, which could be okay, but we could also sprinkle them in other places.
Yeah, I definitely want to use those later for sure.
Okay. So yeah, let's just do another creative session next time and... maybe do some arranging too with that. And yeah, I guess until next time.
Love it. Bye.
Love it. All right. Much love, everybody. Peace.
Bye.